Our message this morning comes from Daniel chapter 3. I encourage you to read this entire chapter during your spare time or your devotional time. But for the purpose of preaching, I'm just going to lift up a few verses. Daniel chapter 3 verse 1 says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Verse 4, then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Verse 7, therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Verse 18, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. This morning, I want to share from the thought, only God is worthy of our worship. Only God is worthy of our worship. My brothers and sisters, on February 25th of this year, 2021, at the Conservative Political Action Conference, otherwise known as CPAC, the crowd was introduced to a golden image of former President Donald Trump. Conventioners flocked to the image to take selfies with the golden statue dressed in the American flag. At least one person was photographed kneeling at its feet, giving misguided opposition the idea to quickly Photoshop images of clergy kneeling at its feet to pray. And though that photo has been discredited as fake, for Christians, it is an image that sticks, and for good reason. A golden statue sends all the wrong signals. To the Republican Party, it proclaims that Trump is worth his weight in gold as a highly respected leader. But to wary Christians, it is a warning about idol worship. Many imperfect men have been revered in history, and for good reason. President George Washington, a slave owner, is revered for his military prowess that won the Revolutionary War. Many imperfect men in biblical history have been revered for good reason. Abraham was an adulterer who slept with his handmaiden, but he is revered as God's father of many nations. Moses was a murderer who killed an Egyptian, but he is revered as the one who brought the Hebrew nation out of slavery. David arranged the death of a man so he could have his wife, but he is revered as a man after God's own heart, for he repented. Imperfect people are capable of doing some good, but none are so good that they should be worshipped. Let me say that again. Imperfect men are capable of doing some good, but none are so good that they should be worshipped. There's only one example of perfection, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How does the construction of a golden image lay a trap? Though there are modern day examples we could use, let us look at the biblical warnings in the story of King Nebuchadnezzar and his golden image for a look at the damage it can cause. First thing that's lifted up in our text is Nebuchadnezzar's golden image commanded worship. Worshiping someone can be a very slippery slope. Hero worship, heartfelt admiration, and public adoration can get out of control. And that is what happened in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar positioned the creation of his own image in gold as a monument to his kingship. And the golden image became a trap to keep his Jewish captives obedient. By court order, the king herald declared, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. It was an order, a clear and distinct command. From that day forward, it would be the custom to bow before the golden image. It was a version of follow the leader. Now, I don't know about any of you, but growing up as a child, we played a children's game called follow the leader. First, the leader is chosen. Then all the children line up behind the leader. When the leader moves, the children have to mimic the leader's movement. Whatever he does, they have to do. Any player who fails to follow the leader is out of the game. But unfortunately, follow the leader is not just a childhood game. The commands of leaders can become so customary that they become habitual. Sometimes all it takes to inspire people to fall in line is a captivating phrase like "Make America Great Again," or a haunting medley like "Lock Her Up," or recently, as the results of the election came through, "Stop the Steal," repeated over and over again. And before long, what the leader says, thinks, and does, all the followers do as well. If he is obnoxious, they will become obnoxious. If he talks down to people, they will talk down to people. If he is angry, they will become angry. If he is a liar, they will repeat his lies. If he is a bigot, they will become bigots. If he is racist, they will become racist themselves. If he refuses to wear a mask in a pandemic, they will follow him even to their death. If he tells them to storm the Capitol, they will storm the Capitol. Just like the childhood game. If the leader is cunning, he calls all the shots. But there is a danger in blindly following a leader. Blind worship requires no thought, requires no rationale, no validation. Those who follow are lost, trapped in the game. They need no proof, no evidence, no testimony, no confirmation. It's just monkey see, monkey do. But then as a backup, the king used fear to keep his captives in line. It was yet another golden image trap. Whoever did not bow to his golden image would have to face a fiery death. The captive Jews feared losing their lives. Nebuchadnezzar had a history of ruthlessness. He was a cunning adversary. In Jehoiakim's third year as ruler of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar raided Jerusalem, looted the holy vessels from the temple, and took some of the Jews captive. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys were among the early captives taken to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar repeatedly crossed the desert to war against Jehoiakim until Jerusalem finally fell, and his main tactic was fear. When his golden image was erected, King Nebuchadnezzar used fear to extract obedience from the Jews, the fear that they would lose their lives. And that is what cunning leaders do. They convince you that you will lose something if you do not obey. It does not have to be your life. It can be fear of losing your country, or fear of losing your perceived privileged status, or fear of losing your guns. When a leader convinces you that as long as you follow him, you have nothing to fear, then all fear becomes relative and it demands obedience. But finally, the king's golden image created a cult. All of Babylon bowed to the bully. Nebuchadnezzar flaunted all his wealth, the Hanging Gardens, the Great Walled City, the kingdom originally given to Adam. And he convinced the captives that his wealth was theirs too, if they would only obey and worship him. His message was, worship me. Don't ask questions. I know everything. I will do all the thinking for you. Just follow me. And they bought it hook, line, and sinker. But I stop by to remind all of us, only God is worthy of our worship. See, the captive Jews broke the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. The captive Jews disobeyed the Mosaic law. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourself. I am the Lord your God. The captive Jews forgot the warning of the psalmist that for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Nebuchadnezzar successfully created a cult-like obedience. His devious psychological techniques held the captives in a mindless game of manipulation. But golden image traps can and do fail. Thankfully, in Babylon, there were three boys who had no fear. They refused to fall for the golden image trap. They believed that God would deliver them from the burning, fiery furnace. They believed that only their God, the true and living God, was worthy of their worship. You know the story. Nebuchadnezzar was so incensed by their refusal to bow to the golden image that he told his soldiers to heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Then he had the three Hebrew boys bound hand and foot and thrown into the furnace. But how many of you know that 7 is a good number? It always represents God's completeness. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no fear. They knew God would fulfill his promise to the faithful. When Nebuchadnezzar witnessed the failure of the attempted execution, the Bible says he was astonished. He not only saw the three Hebrew boys in the flames, he also saw a fourth. And he said the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And when he called the boys out of the flames, not a hair on their head was singed, nor did they smell like smoke. And I know some folks on this call tonight, this morning, here are like the Hebrew boys, did not fall for the trap to golden image. We marched to the polls and fearlessly trusted in God for the outcome, and God delivered. Even when 63 court cases were filed in an attempt to overthrow God's choice of a president, they stumbled and fell. And it's no wonder. 63 is divisible by 7. And in the spiritual realm, 7 means case closed. A golden image is a false god. It has no place in the hearts of those who worship the Lord. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus warns us to be vigilant. He said many false prophets would appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. But Jesus said, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. No golden image will trap us if and only if we worship the Lord. Only God is worthy of our worship. We do not need a statue. God's word is our God. Our eyes will not be blinded. Our feet will not be shackled. Our hands will not be tied. Our abilities will not be limited. Our minds will not be deceived. Our hearts will not be corrupted. Our prayers will not be hindered. We will not fall to the seducing spirits of this world. We will trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. Satan's trap is no match for the bread of life. Satan's trap is no match for the good shepherd. Satan's trap is no match for the captain of our salvation. Christ alone is the focus of our worship. Christ alone keeps us from fear. Christ alone is the hope of the world. Christ alone is the savior of our souls. Christ alone is worthy of our worship. The message of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Maybe there's someone on this worship call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want to encourage you through this prayer and ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brother or my sister, if you have prayed this prayer and believe this prayer, by faith, you are saved. If you have any questions about your choice, if you have any thoughts about this new path that you're on, I encourage you to reach out to myself or any of our deacons or any of our members. May God bless and keep each and every one of you.